Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Take heed, lest there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called today, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, just a moment. The inspired writer here is addressing Christians, children of God, right? Having been saved from past sins, they stand in a right relationship with the Almighty. That's correct. What did you say? Take heed, lest there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Someone says, well, how could that happen? Here is a child of God, and normally we would say a child of God, a dedicated Christian, would not say, I'm just going to reject the whole thing. I plan to turn my... No. That's not what he's saying. You recall, of course, in your reading of the Scripture, Romans chapter 7. If you were to begin about verse 7, read through the end of the chapter, verse 25, you would observe that Paul is contrasting the physical man and the spiritual man, and yet he acknowledged that the spiritual man dwells in the physical man. So he said, I with the mind serve the law of God, but he said, I find in my members a different law, leading me and bringing me under bondage to the law of sin. And you remember how he terminated that chapter. He said, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he said, I then with the body, the flesh, serve the law of sin. Oh, but with the mind, the law of God. Wait just a minute now. The child of God, an immortal spirit, having dedicated himself to the accomplishment of the will of God in his life, aware that he can't do this perfectly, but his commitment, his love for God, brings him to a point of commitment and dedication to the accomplishment of God's will. That's correct. But he still dwells in a physical body, and it is in a world that is dominated by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 4. That's correct. Well, what is the admonition here in Hebrews 3, verse 12? Take heed, lest there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Why would there come to be in the life of a child of God, within his heart, a degree of unbelief? Oh, he said, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called today, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Ooh, the deceitfulness of sin. It is the easiest thing in the world, in this world, to be deceived. I mean, good people. Sure. Well, the Hebrew writer is writing to the children of God, just as all of the epistles in the New Testament are addressed to the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. We understand that. Sure, he's writing to Christians. Paul wrote an epistle to the church at Ephesus. And he wrote, of course, to the churches in the region of Galatia. And he wrote to the church at Philippi. He is addressing Christians. Now, the Hebrew writer, by inspiration, doing exactly the same thing. He is addressing the children of God. So there is an urgency here. He said, exhort one another day by day. Friend, I need the warmth, the friendship, the love, the admonition, the warnings, and the instruction of a godly life and teaching, if I am to maintain my commitment to Jesus Christ. Because you see, Satan's resourcefulness is unlimited in this whole world to place before me every kind of deterrent, stumbling block, and I need to be aware that my brethren depend upon me to live a godly life and to take advantage of every opportunity to instruct them in light of God's Word and in areas where one is weak another may be strong. And that, of course, brings the body into a degree of unity. Exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, sin is deceitful in its very nature. Now, you just think about it for a moment. The very first sin that was ever committed by the creature made in the image and the likeness of God. Friend, there was no rhyme or reason. There was no basis for the commission of that sin. For instance, Mother Eve, with her husband Adam, lived in a perfect world. And everything in this world was subject to them. Oh, but beyond that, when God created man, he planted a beautiful garden eastward in Eden. When out of the ground he made to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. And there he placed the man whom he had made in the midst of the garden, the tree of life. Oh, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've discussed that in time past. Man is made in the image and the likeness of God. He's a creature of choice. And so God warned him in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 2 with regard to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, just a moment. Notice the setting. Mother Eve lives in a perfect world. In addition to that, in paradise. I mean a beautiful garden. Everything essential to their happiness, their well-being, is provided. Why would she eat of the forbidden fruit? But you recall, of course, Genesis chapter 3, we've discussed this many times, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. Well, someone says, what should that have to do with it? Here's a human being made in the image and the likeness of God. Oh, and she knows exactly what God said about the consumption of the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Why would she do this? Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, wait a minute, good for what? Good for food. Oh, that's the physical man, you say. The ingestion of that fruit would be very succulent, very tasty. That's physical. Lest there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Oh, exhort one another day by day, so long as it's called today, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What's the problem here? The old body says, hey, that is delicious fruit. There's no question about that. It wouldn't be a temptation otherwise. Oh, and when she saw that it was good to look upon, a delight to the eye. Ooh, and it was desire to make one wise. Well, you'll be as God. So you... what was it John said? 1 John 2, verse 15? Oh, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Oh, these are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. What are you saying? Just as Paul explained in Romans chapter 7, Eve lives in a physical body. There are certain physical needs, it's true. Oh, there are propensities and drives and urges and appetites in the old physical body. No question about that. She misplaced the emphasis of life. Many of us do that very thing today because of the deceitful nature of sin. Yes, the physical man desired that fruit. It had physical benefits. Death. The whole world was alienated from God. Man became subject to physical death that day. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5 at verse 12. In the transgression of Adam, the human family was alienated from God, and there was no reason on earth for the commission of that sin. Oh, except for the deceit Of old Satan, his subtlety in convincing me that I need this or I should do that, or hey, this is appealing, or that sounds good, or that's tasty. I like the looks of that. Friend, we need to emphasize the spiritual man, not the physical man, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you recall Paul's statement over, what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 6, about verse 9? He said, "They that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition." Wait a minute. What is he saying? Is he saying that it's wrong to make money or to have money? Or to have material possession? Why, certainly not. No, indeed. No. It's where you place the desire. What are you primarily concerned with? What are you interested in? As a matter of fact, a generation ago, there was a gentleman involved in the insurance business. He made millions. He had an excellent ability to assess the existing situation, to make proper investments. He knew, it seems, what he had, what we might even call a Midas touch. I mean, everything. When he died, he had less than $50,000. Made millions. Why? Oh, this man was a Christian. You see, he recognized the fact that he is totally dependent upon God. Oh yeah, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. So he knew that his life in this world was to be used in the service of the Lord, to please the Master. Oh, and he recognized that his talent, his ability for making money was a gift of God. Oh, and he realized that the money that he made didn't belong to him, it belonged to God. Then it was to be used in God's service. Oh, this man supported numerous preachers as they preached the gospel all over the world, some of them full-time, some of them part-time. He was very generous in his contributions to Christian education. He helped the poor. He was a faithful servant of God. Ability to make money? Sure. Anything wrong with that? Why, certainly not. I need to recognize who I am, to whom I belong, and the fact that the material blessings that may be within my care belong to God. They are to be used in His service. Oh, I need to understand that. And we all need to understand that fact. You see, we belong to the Lord, and everything in this world belongs to the Lord. So how am I going to use it? Well, in my commitment, my dedication to Him who died to redeem my soul, I'm going to use it in His service and for the spreading of His cause. You recall a statement Paul made to Timothy, do you not? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." Oh, that's what life is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. We are here to accomplish the will of God. We are here to spread abroad the good news of human redemption. And if God blesses me with substance, it's to be used in His service. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. What is my task? It's spiritual. It is the dissemination of eternal truth. It is the reaching out to the souls of, hey, this is just temporary. This won't be here very long. Wherefore we faint not, Paul said, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, it's temporary, who worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Ah, yes, that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. We must place the emphasis where it belongs. Now, what was it that Paul said there? 1 Corinthians said, "They that are minded to be rich," that is, those who set their minds upon the accumulation of earthly goods, Friend, you've already forgotten who you are. You're a spiritual being. You're only going to be here for a very short time. And as Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Missed out on all of life. You're going to live forever. Oh, and the flesh? Temporary, Paul said. So don't place the emphasis, while we look not at the things which are seen, do not place the emphasis upon the immediate, upon the material. Now, nothing wrong with the material. We live in the physical world. We understand that. Sure, we have certain physical needs. And you may have the acumen to make money. That's great. That's wonderful. Be sure that you recognize the ownership belongs to God. Use it in the Lord's service. Sin is deceitful in its very nature. I remember that the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, about verse 11, and you recall he had been discussing with the Corinthians their attitude toward the man whom they had disciplined as per 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Man living with his father's wife, they finally exercised discipline, withdrew fellowship. Obviously, the man repented. Now, Paul said, be sure that you show your love toward him. Be sure that he understands that you love him as a brother in Christ. That's what discipline is all about. It's always performed in love. It is exercised for the good of the person who is exercised thereby. We understand. So be sure to show your love. And he said this, that no advantage be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are alert to the subtlety of Satan. Yes, sir, the Lord arms us against that kind of deception, if we are ready and willing to check into his word. Indeed. Did you know to serve the Lord takes more than a nominal interest? No. When you obey the fundamental principles of the gospel, you give your life to the Lord, that's total commitment. Nothing is to be allowed to stand between you and your service to the Lord. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. Yours as a Christian is a total commitment, dedication to the accomplishment of the will of God. Look at that first psalm. Very familiar, I'm sure. You've probably read it many times. Blessed, that word blessed means happy. Happy? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Or he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he putteth his hand to, it shall prosper. Let's back up a moment. Happy is the man who makes it a point to associate with the right kind of people. Now, don't misunderstand me. As Paul said, of course, in this old world, if you didn't associate with fornicators and the ungodly and the immoral, you'd have to go out of the world. So in the business world, we understand that all kinds of people are about us. However, this man who's happy is a man who has chosen for his companions, his closest friends, people with a similar disposition, a godly attitude, a determination to walk with the Lord. Happy is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If we aren't careful, choosing our friends, we hear people who have no regard for spiritual matters. They have no concern for the Almighty. They take his name in vain. They speak ill of their fellow man. The child of God does not choose that kind of companion with whom to be closely associated. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because if he does, pretty soon he'll be standing in the way of sinners. Because sin is progressive. And then very shortly he is sitting in the seat of the scornful. He's doing the same thing, this type of person. What is the writer here saying? What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Ah, yes. Someone says, well, I can have. No, don't be deceived. evil companions corrupt good morals. You see, sin is exceedingly deceptive. You see, but whose delight, this fellow in Psalms, this happy man, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now listen, and occasionally, once in a while, he reads God's word and whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh, that's what, well, somebody said, preacher, that throws you all out of joint. That balances your life, you see. You go about doing your duties in this old world with peace, happiness, contentment, and joy. But you can't do that without the Lord. On His law doth he meditate day and night. You see, as Paul explained to the churches in the various epistles that he wrote, the service that we render is not for thy service as men pleasers. No, no, we're servants of God. So we do the best we can, use our talents in performing the tasks assigned us in this whole world, because we're going to account to God. The Christian is the best employee on the job. He's conscientious in what he does, honest and sincere, doing the very best that he can. Oh, but the fellow is happy who meditates upon God's word day and night. Right. Well, someone says, preacher, how am I going to do that? Do you mean I'm to just sit around and all I do is read the Bible? No, no, no. Read the Bible on a regular basis. And it is amazing what it will do for your life. There's no question. You see, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, is quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 at verse 12. All you need to do is read it on a regular basis. It will permeate your thinking. It will direct your conduct. Ah, yes. It will illuminate your life. It will make of you a godly example. It will create within you a love for the immortal souls of men. It will enable you to share with the lost the good news of man's salvation. You see, read God's word regularly. Or he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What does he say? Friend, when you make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord, and you concentrate upon His Word, reading it on a regular basis. Not enough power in hell to move you. I say, oh, the devil is powerless against such people. Of the Lord, since the children were sharers in flesh and blood, He also Himself partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all of them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about bondage to Satan. All I need to be concerned about is giving my life to the Lord. That means I'm going to meditate upon His Word on a regular basis because I fill my heart with it continually. Every day, read the Word of God. Apply these principles to your thought, speech, and conduct. It is amazing how such will change your life. You see, sin is very, very deceitful. Good people are deceived into thinking that, hey, this is not bad. I mean, the Lord willing, I want to talk about that further at a later time. We have just a few moments left, but let me suggest to you that the writer of Hebrews said, solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Hebrews 5 at verse 14. Now, wait a minute. What is he talking about? Well, milk is for babes. Oh, but solid food is for full-grown men. How is this man going to, who by reason of use? We need then to put into practice what we read from God's Word every day. Solid food is for full-grown men, even for those who by reason of use exercise themselves. Yes, sir. Putting into practice the principles contained in this book will make of your life a worthy example, which will impact properly upon your associates. So keep yourself pure. Be careful of your companions. Treat all men with equity and justice, expressing the love of God. All but be sure that you meditate day and night upon the Word of God. The easiest thing in the world to be deceived by Satan, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful in its very nature. May God bless you.